Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
I spoke with Sister Oxer just a moment ago, and she reports that her son seems to be somewhat improved. He's still not out of a very critical condition, but at least at this time he seems to be on a good, they're having a good response from him and so forth. So we want to continue to remember him in our prayers, as well as others who are very seriously and critically ill. I want to remind you again that those who are in the bulletin, as far as we know, are the same except for those that were mentioned this morning that have had some change. I did not mention Brother Pop Sane this morning. I knew there was someone else that I saw and just instantly and then didn't mention. We're glad to have Brother Sane with us tonight and this morning, and glad to see him out. And he hasn't gotten to go fishing lately, but maybe before long he'll be where he can go again. We hope so. Would you bow with me, please, as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we're thankful unto Thee for this night, for this day, for the opportunities of it. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would bless us tonight as we study. We pray that we may develop the kind of attitude about life that we ought to have as taught in Thy Scriptures. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would help us to have strong faith and reliance upon Thee. We pray tonight for those who are sick that have already been mentioned. We're thankful, Father, for those who care for them. We pray that You would bless them and see that their needs might be cared for. Especially do we pray at this time for this Tommy McGee. We pray that he will continue to do well and will improve each day and soon be up and about. Father, we pray for others of our number who have special needs. Be with them and care for them. And Father, we pray for the lost who are a part of our community. Help us, Father, to have the zeal and the understanding and the wisdom to approach them in the correct way with the gospel of Jesus, and allow them, Father, to have the kind of hearts which will receive the truth and bring forth fruit in Thine honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The names of W. Clemens Stone and Napoleon Hill are synonymous in our country with success and the field of self-motivation. They developed, along with other such-minded men, the concept of PMA, or positive mental attitude. Some of you have perhaps attended rallies or seminars or breakfasts or something along this line in your business capacity, which have to do with a positive mental attitude toward our lives and success. This has resulted in a great amount of good. These men, I think, have done a great amount of good. Such men as Maxwell Maltz and other such men who have helped and brought to our attention in our country the need for a good self-image. It's resulted in a multiplicity of successful businessmen. Great books have been written on this subject, and I would urge you that if you're in business, and if you're, in fact, if you're just living in this world, and most of us are at this present time, it's good for you to read these good, success-filled and positive books. They're good for us, I think. Why is it important? Because attitude determines altitude. This is true in the church also. While Christians should have a positive mental attitude, our greater need, and perhaps more correct terminology, would be a positive spiritual attitude. Why? Well, why ought we to have a positive spiritual outlook on life? There are several reasons. Let me give you to you four just quickly. First of all, the inward man is spiritual. Paul said the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Secondly, we are part of a spiritual kingdom, aren't we? We've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, which is a spiritual kingdom, not a physical military kingdom with a physical military king, but rather a spiritual king over a spiritual kingdom with spiritual subjects. And also, we are fighting a spiritual warfare. We're fighting a warfare of the Spirit of the control of the minds and the hearts and the spirits of men. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20, Paul deals at length with this idea of fighting the spiritual warfare. And also our mission involves the Spirit, doesn't it? Spiritual. We're sent to teach all the world, every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. The Great Commission involves the soul, the spirit. And so it stands to reason then that we are interested more in a positive spiritual attitude or outlook than we would be just in the mental side of it. For instance, it might be the case that a carnal man would have, a fleshly minded man, would have a certain amount of success with a PMA, positive mental attitude. But only the child of God, only the Christian, can really have a positive spiritual attitude. Let's define what I'm talking about. By positive, I mean, like Webster means, having a mind settled or set or confident or assured. A confident mind. A confident attitude. This would be opposite of negative or pessimistic. The Christian's mind is settled and confident because of Christ and His Word. And because in Christ, the Christian is already a winner. He's won over the guilt, the condemnation, and the results of sin in Christ Jesus. So he has a confident, positive approach, or should have at least. And also when we talk about spiritual then, a spirit or soul is involved. It concerns with the intellect, the inner part of man. And it's showing, according to Webster, showing much refinement of thought and of feeling. The inward man that has been redeemed and renewed by Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:16. The spiritual is opposite of that of the carnal mind. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, Paul says, For the mind of flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. So we're talking about positive, confident, assured, spiritual. That is, the inner part, the mind, the intellect, the soul, that which is like God of man. And then we talk about attitude. We're talking about the manner of acting or feeling or thinking that shows one's disposition or opinion. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And it's Mark and Matthew and also Luke both record Jesus as saying, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and the issues of life. You are the way you are because of the way you think. And so then we are interested in developing a positive spiritual attitude, the confident Christian's outlook on life. He knows in whom he believes and is confident that God will give what he promises. He is sure that God will work out all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He has confidence in that. When he faces the choice of thinking negatively or positively, he will think positively. Why? Because of a positive spiritual outlook. Because of a positive spiritual attitude. The only negatives that the true Christian, the Christian who is filled with faith and follows the New Testament, has in his mind are those negatives which the Lord gives. Thou shalt not. Those negatives are there. They will always be there. And he follows those negatives and thinks of those negatives in the sense that they are positive instructions for us because they result in positive good when we refrain from those things which are evil. So even that he views with a positive outlook. He knows that what God says for us not to do is for our own good and will result in good in our own lives. We've always been faced with the challenge of having a negative or positive attitude. The Old Testament is filled with such examples. The book of Numbers, chapter 13 and chapter 14, illustrate this very thing. There were 12 spies sent out of the land of Canaan. When they came back, 10 came back with a negative, pessimistic report, saying, "We can't do it. There's no way that we can take the land." But Caleb and Joshua came back and said, "We can do it because God has said, I have given you the land. Let us therefore with faith go and take the land." They said, "We can do it." Why? Because they had a confident, spiritual attitude. But the ten prevailed. And the people of Israel failed to enter into the land of promise. They wandered in the wilderness for 50 or for 40 years. And the book of Hebrews that I asked Brother Hugh to read tonight centers around that. If you read the last part of chapter 3 and the first part of chapter 4, you'll find that the conclusion of chapter 4 is centered around that very thing. Because of disobedience and unbelief, they were not able to enter into that rest. And then the writer says, Let us therefore enter into that rest and not fall by the same example of disobedience. We must not have a negative, unbelieving, fearful attitude. We must rather have a positive, faith-filled, spiritually minded outlook on life. Why should we have a positive spiritual attitude? Let me suggest some things to you that I think are very clear. First of all, God desires us to have this kind of attitude. He doesn't want the negative attitude, the pessimistic outlook on life. He never has accepted it. He never has been pleased with it. It has always been the case that we must always have faith based on our spiritual confidence in Christ Jesus and our attitude which causes us to live in response to that. God wants us to have that kind of attitude. Secondly, it helps give meaning and direction to life. The goals of the church and Christianity are exciting, and they provide a lifetime challenge. There's no greater challenge than to reach the minds of men and women. There's no greater challenge that's ever been issued than to go and take the gospel message to all the world, every creature. We've not done it in our generation. We could, but we haven't. Positive spiritual attitude deals with everyday goals as well. Our job, our classroom situation, if we're in school, our social activities, our educational activities, all are aided by a positive spiritual outlook on life. PSA provides a zest for living. A winning team is exciting. Do you know that? It's exciting to be on a winning team. Someone said, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it's whether you play the game or it's how you play the game. Well, that may be true about some games. But it's not a blanket statement. It does make a difference whether we win at the game of life or not, doesn't it? It does make a difference how we play the game. But I tell you what, we better cross the finish line in a faithful capacity. It does make a difference. It does make a difference how we deal with one another, with Christians, and with those outside the faith. Christians are winners. They're winners already because of the victory they have in Christ Jesus and the victory they're looking forward to in Christ Jesus. And this attitude and outlook on life should affect their whole life. Positive spiritual attitude provides a zest and zeal and living. And also, we ought to have this kind of attitude because it will keep us on the road to victory. It will keep us there. If we have a positive spiritual outlook, it will keep us keeping on. It will keep us moving on in the right direction. Remembering that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We keep on keeping on because we know that whatever we do that is right and good and for the Lord will always result in good. It may not be right now, we may not see the fruit right now, but it will result in good. And we must recognize that the reward will come. A positive spiritual attitude will help you to improve your eyes of faith also. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 that we walk not by sight but by faith. We need to improve our eyes of faith, don't we? Well, a positive outlook on life will help us do that. We walk by faith. We walk by the Word of God and the faith which is based on the Word of God and having confidence in that Word. We can see, a positive spiritual outlook can see us through those valleys of difficulty. But if you have a negative, pessimistic outlook on life, some of you will never get out of the valleys. I preached a sermon not too long ago on the radio entitled, A Life of Hills and Valleys. The Christian life is a life of hills and valleys. And we need to remember that when we're in the valley, this too shall pass. And we're on the hills, this too shall pass. So let us not become too discouraged in the valley, and let us not become too high-minded on the hills, because both of them will pass. Life goes on, and life is made of hills and valleys. A positive spiritual attitude will keep us going even when we're down in the valleys, the depressing times, the discouraging times. A positive spiritual outlook on life built on and confidence in the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ will help us through those times. I don't see how some people make it through those times without trust and faith in God and a positive outlook with regard to the Lord. Also, it will influence others for good. There's not anything more detrimental to Christianity than a long-faced, donkey-faced, down-in-the-mouth Christian. Do you know that? And we have far too much of it. Some have thought that Christianity is a Christianity of sorrow. Not so. The Bible is filled with joy and instructions to rejoice and to be happy and to be glad, even in face of difficulty and troubling times. Paul, of all men who could have thrown up his hands and said, I quit, wrote from the prison cell in Rome, rejoice. And again unto thee I say, rejoice. Let your joy be made full. The book of Philippians is a book filled with joy and rejoicing. Remember that your light shines round about, and it ought to be a positive light of influence so that that will dispel darkness. It ought to be the kind of influence that brings seasoning to life. Are you that kind of influence? Are you poison in people's food instead of seasoning to make it taste better? Do you make life better or worse for people? A lot will depend on your attitude. It influences others. And a positive spiritual attitude will be an influence for good if you have an outlook like that. It also helps us to eliminate negativism, like the 10 spies. If we have that kind of outlook, that kind of faith, that kind of attitude toward life, then we're going to have that'll be prevalent, not the other way around. It ought to have been the case that God's people would have had 10 people who said, we can do it because God said we can do it. Instead of the other way around, when 10 people said, we can't do it, we're like grasshoppers. Well, we need to get rid and dispel that kind of thinking. Leadership needs to get rid of it. Elders and deacons and preachers and Bible school teachers and all those who have an influential part in the program of the Lord's church must have a positive spiritual attitude. Also, this kind of attitude guarantees good stewardship. A person with positive spiritual attitude will properly manage his time and his talent and his money. He understands the idea of blessings coming through giving. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. The person who has a positive outlook on life says, that's right. And Jesus also said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Filled up, pressed down, running over, shall it be given back into your bosom. The positive spiritual person looks at that and says, that's right. That's right. I believe that. I accept that. And he gives accordingly, and his life demonstrates it. It also helps you to enjoy happiness and peace of mind. A positive spiritual attitude will help you to be happier. It'll help you to develop peace as you ought to have. It ensures Christian growth. The person with PSA, or positive spiritual attitude, sees the need for growth. He recognizes that if he adds to the Christian virtues to his life, he need not fear stumbling. He need not fear falling away from God. If he adds to his faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, self-control, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love, he need not fear falling. He need not fear going away from God. If he adds those things to his life, he has confidence that he's living in acceptance, an acceptable life to God's will. And he recognizes also the need for continuing growing in those areas. He's not arrived yet. A positive spiritual outlook. Recognizes 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 when it says, "Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He knows he needs to grow. All of us need to have that kind of attitude, don't we? It also helps us to see the best in others and to encourage them to trust the Lord and His promises rather than to approach it in a negative way and life a negative way. And everybody is out to get me and that kind of an attitude of life. The positive type person, the positive attitude, looks at people and thinks the best. Because that's what the Bible teaches, isn't it? Name any project. Name any task or work in the church. Or any daily effort of your life. And a positive spiritual attitude will help meet that task, accomplish that work, and help you live a better, more acceptable life. Now, what are some keys to developing this kind of attitude? First of all, in order to have a positive spiritual outlook and attitude, you must have a strong faith in God's existence. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, Paul said that the Gentile people were without excuse because they rejected the deity and the existence of God. They were without excuse because they could look around and perceive God's existence and God's deity and God's power. They're without excuse, he said. The psalmist said it in another way in Psalm 19, verse 1. He said, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Without excuse, because the world in its very existence and its design and the very nature of its existence demands God's existence. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the writer says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, for they that come to God must believe that He is." Without this, without their strong belief and acceptance and trust in God's existence, people are not motivated to obey His will. Why would you want to obey the will of some God you didn't really believe existed? I'm not sure that we do not have some atheists who are hypocritically claiming to be Christians. At least agnostic, that is, that they're not sure whether He does or not. But the person who has a good, positive spiritual attitude must have a strong trust in God's existence. There is a God. And he must trust in that with all of his heart. A young boy was a member of a boys' club. And he was one of these little boys, you know, who's kind of rowdy. And the men who were over him were trying to correct him and trying to keep him in line. And they kept threatening him, "Now we're going to send you to see the man." Meaning by that, the director of the boys' club. And this little boy just kept on and kept on and kept on. And finally, they had to send him, after so many threats, they had to send him to see the director of the boys' club. When he came into the office, the director questioned the little boy and said, "Son, why is it that you did not heed these threats? You knew you were going to be sent to me. Why didn't you listen?" And the little boy answered, "Because I didn't believe you was." I'm afraid that's the way many people are when it comes to their relationship to God and following His will. They don't really believe He is. Now, that little boy never seen that director, but he sure existed. And he sure had to give an account. Likewise, we have not seen God. We have seen the evidence of Him. We have not seen Him, but we will give an account. And the person who has a positive spiritual attitude must have in his heart and mind a strong conviction and trust in God's existence. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, And this is life eternal, that they should know Thee, the only true God, and Him whom Thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. Jesus said, they must know God. In order for us to have a positive outlook on life, we must have strong faith in God's existence. And secondly, we must have an undoubting faith in the power of God. We must believe that He is and that He rewards them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We say the first part in many cases, but I'm afraid in many cases we do not believe the latter. God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible says that God is all-powerful, that God can and will provide for His own. He is on our side when we do His will. Greater is He that is in you than that which is in the world. 1 John 4 and verse 4. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can help and God will help when we do His will and live in keeping with His instructions. Our problem is, in many cases, we want the Lord's help, but we don't want to do what He wants us to do in the way He wants us to do them. Now, thirdly, we must, in order to develop a positive spiritual outlook on life, develop a mountain-moving faith. You know, we don't preach much on, I say we, preachers don't preach much on Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Now, I don't know why. You recall the passage where it says, if you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, move hence. And that mountain will move hence. And we have normally preached on that to say, well, that was talking about miraculous faith. But you know, I never find any example in the Bible, in the old or new, of any kind of demonstration of special miraculous faith that moved mountains. What's he talking about? I heard a fellow one time that preached on this subject, a preacher preached on it, and the fellow came out and said, preacher, you don't really believe that, do you? And the preacher said, yes, sir, I do. We can do it with dynamite, a bulldozer, a shovel, or a number of other things. But with God's help, we can do it. And besides that, he said, it's not literal mountains that are the most difficult to move. The most difficult ones to move are those that reside within the 6-inch span between our ears. Those are the attitude mountains that we have problems with, such as doubt and fear and unbelief and others. And that's right. You know, I made a trip the other day up to Cookeville, and I went up through Smithville and hit the interstate. And any of you been that way recently, you'll know that they're moving a mountain up there. Now, who would have thought a few years ago that they'd be able to move that mountain? I mean, they just literally, you know, they just carved it out, moved. Why? There's all kinds of ways to move mountains. God is saying here through the Lord Jesus Christ, you must have faith that you can get the job done. If I ask you to do it, I'll give you the strength and the wherewithal to do it. That's what it amounts to. We've got to trust in the Lord to provide what we need to do the job. Faith in God will help us remove these doubts and these mountains that need to be moved between our ears. The mountains of our mind. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are to grow in faith, and we must continue to grow in that capacity. Now, fourthly, in order to develop a positive spiritual attitude, we must remember that we have God's resources available. They are available. We sometimes act as if we must do it all by ourselves. Over the years that I've been working with churches, I probably have been in more depressing discouraging, pessimistic business meetings than anything else I've ever been in my life. And a lot of it centers around this very thing. How much will it cost? Number one. Did you know that it's never what's the best way for us to get the job done? Here's the job. Let's get it done. Does it need to be done? Let's do it. Very seldom have I ever heard that. Number one, how much is it going to cost? Now, I know that we must be good stewards of what God has given us. But I want to tell you, we better start believing in God. If we have a job to do and He's given us a task to do and our opportunity is there, we better start believing in God to provide what we have need of to do the job. That's a positive spiritual attitude. And then the next question normally is, how much do we have? And if we don't have it, we don't do it. Ever think about that? But that's not what God said for us to operate on. We must operate on faith. We must trust in Him for some things. We must trust in Him to make up the difference. Sometimes when we get in a tight or in a pinch, or when we have an opportunity to do good and we fail to do it because we don't have it there in hand. Well, the Bible never teaches that God always provides for us ahead of time what we need to pass the test. Sometimes we must pass the test and then He provides. Just like Abraham offering his son Isaac. If Abraham had known that God was going to provide the ram, there wouldn't have been any test in it, would there? If the people in the Old Testament is living as examples for us of faith had known all the things that God was going to provide for them, there wouldn't have been any test in it. But God said, do it. They did it. Then He provided the necessary sources for them to accomplish the task. God never has asked us to do anything that He won't provide for us in the doing of it and the necessary things in the accomplishment of it. We need to remember that God has the cattle on a thousand hills. God owns everything. And if God can use me and He can use you and He can use others and He can use resources that we don't even know about, if we will but trust in Him and rely upon Him and ask Him to help us and provide those things when we have need of them. He can and will supply our every need if we trust in Him. Our challenge is to be good stewards of what He provides for us to use. Now, fifth, in order to develop a positive spiritual attitude, we need to have prayer power. We need to tap the source of prayer. Prayer was the key to the success of the early Christians. I'm convinced of that. Prayer was, I think, the key to the Lord's success. You find difficult times, where do you find the Lord? In prayer. You find times of decision, before those times of decision, where do you find the Lord? In prayer. Prayer is an absolute essential to having a positive spiritual outlook and attitude on life. In John 15 and verse 7, look at these great promises. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done unto you. In John chapter 16 and verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. But we must ask in faith. James chapter 1 verse 5 to 8 says, let no man think that he that does not ask of faith will receive anything. We must ask God according to His will, and be submissive to His will, but believe that God will supply what is best for us in that area and what we have need of. We must pray constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. In James 4 verse 2, he says, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes when you ask amiss that you might spend it on your own pleasures. We need to have the kind of attitude that develops a daily prayerful life. We need to pray every day. You know, it stands to reason that if the Lord needed to pray, we need to pray. If the Lord needed prayer to overcome temptation, if the Lord needed prayer to overcome the difficulties of life, if the Lord needed prayer to overcome those valleys in His life, then surely we recognize that we need prayer. If the great apostles of the Lord needed prayer, and they needed to pray before they undertook those things, and they needed to pray when those distressing times came, and when they needed to pray when persecution came, if they recognized the need for prayer, then surely we ought to recognize the need for prayer. If they came together as a group of people when persecution was coming upon them in Acts chapter 4 and prayed together and asked the Lord to help them, surely it ought to be the case that we would come together and pray, doesn't it? And special needs come. Yes, we need to pray. Someone has said that 7 days without prayer will make 1 week, W-E-A-K. And I tell you, it doesn't take 7 days to do that. We could just say days without prayer. We'll make 1 week. Great things are born out of a seasons of prayer. To have a positive spiritual attitude, you must not neglect daily prayer power. Paul said, in nothing be anxious. We could say it, in nothing be pessimistic. In nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your lives in Christ Jesus. And then, seventh, you must believe, in order to develop a positive spiritual attitude, you must believe that you can do what you need to do through Christ who can give you strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I want to tell you, there are times that I don't know how in the world I can do what I need to do in Christ. There are times that it's so distressing and so heavy that I just wonder if I can do it. And I know personally that the elders of this congregation feel the same way from time to time. The burden of responsibility, decisions, and choices, and the task of making those expedient area decisions are very, very weighty and are very, very heavy. And instead of discouraging, brethren, we need to have a positive spiritual attitude which will help, not hinder. I think there have been a time or two in my ministry that I've been a burden to elders rather than a help. I've asked the Lord to forgive me for that. But you know, sometimes it just gets to the point where you just don't think you can do it, can you, on your own? Well, the positive spiritual attitude says, I can do all things by myself. No. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Since I've come here, I've seen some of you bear some things that are very difficult to bear. And things which you alone must bear. There's no way that anybody else can take those burdens from you, is there? I'm convinced that some of you have been able to bear that because you have trusted in the Lord to help you with those burdens. We must bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But the reason that is the law of Christ is because He bears all of our burdens. And we can only bear a few of one another. For the Lord bears all of our burdens. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Didn't Paul have a great positive spiritual attitude? Think about what he went through. Think about all the things that he was undergoing when he wrote that passage in a Roman jail. We can do what we need to do, must do, if we are living according to the Lord's will. God does not give impossible missions. And then next, you must believe that all things work together for your good. In order for you to have a positive spiritual attitude, you must believe that passage in Romans 8 and 28. All things work together for good to those who are called, to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Not all things are good, but that they will work together for good. There's a difference. The key is found in to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. It may seem a terrible event in our life, but God can bring victory out of it. He can bring victory individually. It may be a terrible tragedy in our life that we have to endure, we have to overcome, we have to deal with. And they're not easy to deal with sometimes. But the Bible promises, and God promises, that in Christ Jesus, that everything, all things, will work together, work out together for our good. They will result in good for us if we love Him and are called according to His purpose. And I think also as a church, we need to recognize that all things that happen are not necessarily pleasant sometimes. Sometimes they're difficult things. And yet the Bible teaches that everything will work out together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Do we claim that promise? Do you believe that promise? You need to have a positive spiritual attitude. Don't worry about the how. That's what we get involved in. I don't see how God can do that. Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen God do a lot of things. I don't know how in the world He did it. I don't see how He brought good out of something like that. But I've seen it come over and over and over again. I've seen good come out of tragedy. Brother Jim Bill McIntyre just wrote a beautiful article the other day about these young children who were injured in this bus accident. That was a terrible thing. So tragic. And yet it could have been so much more tragic, couldn't it? I mean, several of those children could have been killed. But he pointed out the good that has come. People from nationwide, the church's name brought before the public and in a good way in most cases. And how that people cooperated in Nashville, and people cooperated among the churches, and how that help was sent, and the people cared for people stopping on the side of the road and helping those little children and putting blankets and taking their shirts off and bandaging those wounds. And people, why, it was just a wonderful thing to experience that in this day in society, when everybody's so afraid of everything in the world that they're not even going to be willing to stop to help a fellow, you know, that's on the side of the road half dead, that people would show that much concern and love and kindness to other people. Why, there's just all kinds of great things came out of that tragedy. And he was pointing out, I think that's the kind of thing that God promises that good can even come from. To develop a positive spiritual attitude, you must believe that God has equipped us for all good works. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be furnished, completely furnished, unto every good work. God furnishes us what we need. He furnishes us the needs we have to accomplish His will, to be winners for God. He only expects from us what we have the ability to achieve, and not anything more than that. And then you must never forget that labor, your labor is never in vain. To develop and maintain this positive outlook, we must always remember that nothing that we do for the Lord is ever in vain. If we live faithfully unto death as winners, we shall receive the crown of life. This great eternal reward should motivate us to have a positive spiritual attitude day by day, no matter what. And then also, the assurance of salvation should help us to have a positive spiritual attitude. The assurance and confidence in our salvation. Brethren, no matter whether we understand it completely, no matter how we might understand all the ins and outs about it, the Bible still says that we know we have eternal life. That does not mean by that one can never be lost. I think we need to be careful that we don't let our denominational friends put a meaning on terms that the meaning is not there in the original language or in the English. The Bible says that we can know we have salvation. We can know that we are in the light. We can know that we're in God's grace. We can know that we have God's mercy. We can know that we're His children. We can claim His promise of forgiveness when we confess our sins. He has not made a laser beam light of religion. The light is not so narrow that we cannot tread it. The light is not so narrow that we cannot walk it in God's grace and mercy and confidence. We need to keep our confidence firm to the end, says the writer of the book of Hebrews. Do you have that kind of confidence? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the evil one. Our confidence and assurance of our relationship to God as His children helps us keep on going in the face of temptation in the world of darkness. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in darkness. We know that. We know we are of God. We've submitted to His will. We're following His will. We're humbly walking in the light. We're repentant. We live the kind of life that says, Lord, I'm sorry for stumbling. I'm sorry for weakness. Forgive me. And keep on forgiving.